All right, here we are again, another special episode.
I know I said we'd be filming this, but I got too much shit going on with finishing this album up. I have like 8 more days left to turn it in. So we're just gonna do audio. And actually we got quite a few listens. I was pleasantly surprised considering we didn't promote it. Seemed like a lot of the old gang got back together to join us. So I appreciated all the messages I got about it too. So it was good.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Yes.
Everyone's very excited to hear about your process.
Good.
And your new music.
Yeah, I'm excited about this bunch of songs. I got a lot of good feedback about the last two. But they were just buzz singles. And for people who don't understand what that term is, it's really what you put out before you put out the album. It's just to like get a bit of a buzz.
Teasers.
Yeah,
teasers.
Just to... So those two songs aren't on the album, as I said last time.
And which songs are we talking about?
Psycho and You Don't Even Know.
Okay.
Yeah. And by the way, no one has yet to correctly guess who the song was referring to. I'm not saying it wasn't about someone, but referring to. Some terrible guesses. Terrible guesses. Someone who listened to the wrong damn song and got all heated about it. Friend knows who I'm talking about. Yes, I heard wrong song. So
I don't know who you're talking about, but I guess we're going to have to do that off air.
Yeah.
They were all the songs that you write are about Taylor Swift.
No. But shout out to Taylor for, I really respect the top 10 songs.
Got her album right there.
That's interesting.
I bought a record.
You bought a record.
Yeah, that's how much she inspires me.
Are you going to a show?
Wait, no. There's no way I could have the patience, first of all, to like get those tickets.
Yeah. This is star power. We're here to talk about my music. Starting off with Taylor Swift. So big up to Taylor for that.
Congrats to her. Amazing.
Yeah.
But now let's talk about you.
Yeah.
Okay. So you shared with me 3 more songs that are going to be on the album, correct? Okay. And this is the way I describe them.
Okay.
The first one you sent me, and correct me if I'm getting the names wrong, but Peace, you're just calling it Peace. So that's like one that's going to make people cry. That one made me teary.
I teared up one time.
Yeah. And that is a ballad, right? You would consider that a ballad?
Yes, that song is the only personal song on the whole album. And I said it was an EP last time. It's become an album because this song and the next song that I sent you were late additions.
And what's the difference? What's an EP versus an album?
For those
break
of you
it down.
For those of you who don't know, an EP has 5 songs, and anything over 5 songs is an album.
I had no idea.
Never knew that. The EP gets thrown out a lot now, but that's the technical.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second song, Wait For You.
Wait For You, yep.
Wait For You, I consider that like dancey.
Yeah, that's like
dancey energy.
Upbeat.
The hook sticks in your head.
Yeah.
And then the third song made me blush.
I knew it would. Yeah, that's some naughty
things in there. The first line or whatever, I was like, okay.
That's going to be the first song on the album. It's kind of setting the tone of like, this is adult time.
Okay.
It's adult time.
Rest of it's tame. It's just that first line.
Yeah.
That's like,
well, there's some stuff towards the end. You must not have caught some of the rap. But I was thinking this album's kind of like my Tinder profile. So that first song is like giving you a little preview of how I am, you know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what to do with that. So yeah, it's good. I mean, all right.
Yeah.
Here for it.
Yeah.
So 3 songs, very different, but also I think great.
Well, that's what an album or collection of music should be, right? It should be the same song over and over again.
Absolutely.
This isn't just me putting out music. Yes, I'm doing the artist thing. As I said last time, I'm going to promote it. I'm going to step out as an artist. But it's also like my calling card as a songwriter because I wanted to cover all the genres that I do well. And this is what you're going to get.
Yeah, it is interesting because it's not... I feel like a lot of times in an album, they'll all be kind of slower or...
Right.
You know, whereas this one... It's interesting because, like I was saying, you know, it's different energy behind each song.
Yeah, and you know, I sent you 3 of 7, so there's 4 other songs. One of them is a bassline song, so it's completely different.
Okay, and what does that mean, a bassline song?
That's a style, it's kind of like a bit of EDM, very dubstep-y.
Okay.
Yeah, completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And then, another rap song and One with Mason on it, as that's another rap
song. Oh, right. Yeah, you were telling me about that one.
Yeah, so just across the genres that I do and the genres that inspire me as a kid growing up.
I love it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to talk about, we're not going to go into the specifics of the songs today, but I do want to talk about what Peace, which is the one that is the ballad, and you said that's going to be the closer for the album, right?
Yep.
Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so like I said, that's the only personal song on there. I'm not going to go into what's happened to me in the last few months of my life because this isn't the time or the place, but it definitely led to me growing a hell of a lot as a person. And it's just really the first time that I've found myself and I'm happy with myself and I don't need external validation from a woman or a partner to love myself. No, I am truly in a place where I love myself and don't need someone else to love me for me. That makes sense?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so I'm just at peace. I really just feel at peace. My energy's changed. So many people have told me, like, you just seem calm. And that's all I've ever wanted. And as some of the lyrics says, you know, I've been chasing the wrong things. And that's how I feel. Like, I don't need to chase anything anymore. The next person I'm with needs to add to this. They're not going to complete me. I'm completed.
Yep.
And that next person is going to get the best version of me because I've never been at this place before. So
yes.
Lucky you if you're listening.
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's all so healthy. And I don't think the work never ends. But at the same time, I feel like.
Yeah. And I didn't go in. Lyrically, I don't go into anything that I went through. But I wanted the song to be for people to listen to if they're in a place where they feel like, you know, the lyrics say when the walls are closing in, or you feel like you can't talk to anybody about what's happening to you. Like, things are going to be okay. You're going to get through it. And that's what the message of the song is. Like, I found my peace and you will too.
Yep. And I think that's what, I mean, I know, you know, we're friends, so I know your story, but also what got me emotional about that song is just that it really, there are so many applications for it, and it's just such a universal song. I mean,
yeah, and I've always been a sucker for having a choir in there.
I love that.
Yeah, that was all me, by the way, all those voices.
How do you do that?
I'm a vocalist. Yeah, I was actually really proud of that because it does sound like a choir.
I was wondering how.
You can hear in my voice the emotion. There's no hiding it. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve as a person anyway, but there's no hiding how I felt while I was performing that song.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that part of it too. Yeah. I think that one, I mean, I haven't listened to the whole album, but so far that one's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Probably mine too.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Okay. So we're kind of going from specifics to some more general questions I have just about like your career and as someone who really doesn't know a lot about what you do in the industry. I imagine some of our listeners are curious too.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of want to start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious, what got you into music? How did you sort of decide you wanted to become a singer?
I don't remember the exact moment, but I remember there was a show in England called Top of the Pops. And it was on Friday nights and they would have like the charts. And I guess before that, it would be when you would find out who was top of the charts and they would perform and it was live performances and then they started doing the videos, whatever. But I do remember after those shows, probably annoyed the shit out of my family. I would go into the dining room where the piano was and I'd start trying to write songs. And it would usually be like similar to the number one song. I remember I Believe I Can Fly was the first one I can remember. I used to always try and emulate. I couldn't play the piano. I took lessons a little bit. I learned the notes, but I still couldn't really play. And then in high school, which in England is from 11 to 18, my best friend there, he wanted to do the same thing. So we kind of teamed up. We became a Paz and Jax duo. And he was a phenomenal pianist. So I just used to watch him play and I learned just by watching him. So I go home and just remember how he had his fingers, and that's how I learned. So it's all by ear. I can't read music.
Right. That is, I think that is a certain kind of learning. I don't know what it's called, but I mean, that's a superpower for sure.
Yeah, it's in my genes. My grandfather was a good pianist. Apparently, he broke his wrist in a car accident. His brother was a classical composer, quite famous in England. So it's part of my gene pool. But
my legacy,
yeah, exactly. And Mason's continuing that.
Yeah,
and that's something I'm really proud of. And with that one song ushering him in as, you know, guiding him, I'm not going to sell him off because you're going to have to go through me if you want him to be a superstar, because I'm very protective of him. So I'm not going to Aaron Carter him or Michael Jackson him off to the highest bidders.
Oh, man.
No money in the world is going to
is gonna
sell me on my kids. But
how old is Mason?
7.
Yeah. And is he showing interest in the same things that you do?
Dad, I'm going home, make a beat today. I listened to my new song. He's in there getting beat. He knows where I get my instrumentals from now, so he's getting them, and he'll be recording all afternoon if he could.
How does that feel?
It's great. It's annoying because he's just noise all the time, but I love it. And to see him, you can even hear he writes good melodies. You can hear that, and I'm trying to help him. I don't want to make it too structured right now. I just want him to enjoy it. But you can hear him, his progression as a writer, like the melodies he's doing. Most of the time he's copying stuff he's heard of mine and then passing it off as his own. But yeah, it's great.
Fine.
Yeah.
Will you put him in formal lessons at any point?
Eventually. But not, like I said, I don't want to structure it. Yeah. And I never had structured learning either.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But yeah, so then I got to a point, I was quite a high-level soccer player too, and I had the opportunity to sign a youth contract with a team that was like 2 hours away from my house. So it would have been like a 4-hour round trip for my parents every day, and I would have had to have given up. I was in musical theater school at the time, and I would have to have given that up. And at that, I was 16, I remember. I think I was 16. And I made the choice I was going to do music. So then soccer died down. And I started pursuing music, and then I went to college to do music production, and then decided I was going to move to America because my dad's American, so I'm a citizen. And I moved here to pursue music, and that's kind of where I landed.
It's amazing.
And in the meantime, at high school, me and Jack got our first placement writing a song for a guy, Wayne Marshall, who had a huge hit in the 90s. It was like his comeback album. It never came out. It came out like 10 years later. But that was our first taste of, you know, doing a professional song.
Mm-hmm. And that was when you were how old? 16?
17, 18. Yeah, but we were little pricks. We would walk into record labels with our CDs printed and hand them in like we were some superstars. But
that's kind of what it takes, that. Right?
Yeah. It was horrible. But I just love that arrogance and the gumption of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because you had that belief in yourself.
Yeah. And I can totally see Mason doing that too.
Yeah. It's an interesting how we can lose that as we get older.
Yes, and that's something I've tried to gain back with this record, is just do you.
Yeah.
Be who you, be yourself, put it out. Like I said, wear my heart on my sleeve. This is me.
Yeah, and it's like, why not tap into that? I mean, you were lucky enough to have that experience and you still remember it. So it's like, why not tap into the way you felt? Yeah. When you were doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that can apply to
across the board,
so many situations.
Yeah.
Part of, growing into adulthood, it's sad that we lose that, you know, not only the confidence, but the childhood sense of wonder. These are all things that I think we should tap into.
Not saying go and quit your job and give everything up and put your family at risk by pursuing something, but
right, because you do not do this, like, just to clarify, this full time.
No, I have a career and I have a small business. So
yes.
I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
But any spare second I have, I'm doing this. I'm not watching Netflix. I still find time to chill, but I put the time in.
Yeah.
I'll be up at 5 o'clock editing up this or working or tuning vocals or doing whatever. But when you love something, you do it. And that, like you said, that goes across any passions you might have, whether that be fitness, whether that be something that not many people are into. It doesn't matter if it's your passion, put the time in, and it doesn't matter if you make money from it. It's just, you'll feel happier.
Right. And because the joy is the doing, it's not the end result. Like when you hand in, when we'll talk about the process, I don't completely understand it, but when you meet this deadline that you have, that's not going to be, you know, well, you can tell me, but like my assumption is that's not the best part. The best part is now, like the making, the doing, the creating.
And then people hearing it.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're a writer, it's the same thing. It's the writing and then people's joy from your writing.
Do you feel, though, that once you put it out into the world, it's not your own anymore?
No, it's still my baby.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not protective of it.
Right.
If you don't like it, that's fine. If you don't listen to it, that's fine.
It becomes subject to other people.
Yeah, but that's part of the... You know, I mean, actually, Peace was a good example. I had two friends. You're one of three people that have heard it. My other two friends that have heard it both had feedback in terms of one was a technical thing,
mm-hmm.
which I had made a change to. And one was talking at the end. I took that out. And, you know, the one that told me suggested taking the talking out was very, like, apprehensive about telling me. I said, it's fine. Like, I'm open to feedback. Mm-hmm. Just because it's, like, it's personal to me, it's okay. Like, you can, I don't take it that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, if you put yourself out there, you've got to be open to feedback and you've got to be open to criticism.
Yeah.
It's just being, when you're at peace, you're okay with it. I don't care.
And I think that's a muscle.
Yeah.
That's part of putting yourself out there is you have to kind of develop that muscle. And, you know, it's like they always say you fail forward. It's these things like in air quotes failure. It just makes you stronger, really. But if you never put yourself out there.
Right. And I'm still working on it. Like, you're great at, you'll put selfie videos up on Instagram. I still don't do that. I'm still not there yet. Like, I'm still critiquing my looks too much or if it's the wrong angle, if I don't look good, I'm not putting it up.
Mm.
So I'm still working on that. Like, there's no very, very few pictures of me at all on my Instagram.
For that reason. You should do more.
I will. I think one thing at a time. Let me get this out.
Yeah, of course.
I'm doing a photo shoot for the album cover. That'll be
good,
a picture of me.
Good.
So, yeah. But I'm saying all this as someone who's working on it. But, you know, I found peace in some aspects, but I still have the insecurities that other people have. And it's just working.
Because you're human.
Yeah, and it's just work.
Yes, 100%.
And it's being okay.
It never ends. Like, that's the human experience.
Yeah.
Never ends. But the fact that you're aware of all these things, I think, is so healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a good space.
That's good. So what kind of songwriter, like what kind of music would you say you produce?
Pop. But it's across the spectrum. I mean, I think did I say last time on here that I was growing up, I always walked the line of being a Backstreet Boy or Slim Shady.
I knew Backstreet Boy. I don't think I knew Slim Shady.
I dressed that way. I dressed like a rapper. I wore clothes that were not appropriate for me, but that musically as well. Like, I was so, like, I think one of the first cassettes I bought was Tupac's album.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would listen to Backstreet Boys. And so I was constantly between those two worlds. And you can kind of, even just my cadences throughout, even in the ballads, my cadences and stuff, you can kind of hear the rap influence and things like that. So I'm a pop writer, but across the spectrum.
Yeah.
I mean, we just did a couple songs for a Japanese boy band.
But that's great, like K-pop?
J-pop. Yeah.
J-pop.
Yeah.
Right, that makes sense.
And it's completely different to anything.
And that's huge, right? I mean...
Yeah, and it's completely different to anything I've done before, but it's still the aspect of pop. Like, nothing beats a catchy... And this is a good example. So a friend of mine sent me the Backstreet Boy hit, I Want It That Way.
Yep.
The lyrics never really made sense, right? The guy who wrote it, Max Martin, massive songwriter, but at the time when he wrote the song... He didn't speak English very well. I think he's from Sweden, one of the Scandinavian countries. So they rewrote, they had someone rewrite the lyrics to make sense, and then they trashed it because the old version was better. And it just proves that good melody beats lyrics.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's why a song can be international. People who don't speak the language will still sing along because they don't really know what the lyrics are, but it's the melody.
Yeah.
So that's something I picked up pretty early. It's just, you can spend so long, and again, I try and be very clever with my lyrics and make sure they make sense, and I'm very particular about the tenses and the pronouns and stuff that make sense, because when people start mixing them, it annoys the shit out of me, but at the end of the day, it's the melody, and that's the most important thing. So pop, but it's just anything that's melody driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's so many songs that I loved when I was younger. And now that I know the lyrics, I'm like, oh, and I just didn't even pay attention to the lyrics. And now I'm like, I can't believe.
When you're
like, my mother must have been.
Yeah, but
mortified.
When you're at a wedding and you see a 60-year-old man dancing to the window, to the wall, to the sweat drip down my balls, doesn't know what the song's talking about, but he's having the time of his life.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it's
what
a beautiful
music is.
Thing.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's the melody.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a little bit of trivia almost.
Okay.
Not trivia, but I want to hear about your best performance and your worst performance.
Ooh.
So start with your best.
Best performance. When we were like 17, 18 years old, me and Jack did this charity event 2 years in a row at high school where we would do like the majority of the sets. We did two songs and then we had other artists come in and perform. Mm-hmm. And then we do another couple and keep it going. We sold out. It was like a 300-seat arena theater. Real fun. But the first year, we had my friends from theater school come and we kind of had like a boy-girl band. That was probably my favorite performance because like everybody was on point. The crowd loved it. That was probably my favorite. And then my worst was probably my comeback. And I don't think I knew you at the time. When I did my first Girls on the Run, and listening back, it was okay. But like I fucked up. I it was a Taylor Swift song. I got the lyrics wrong.
Wait, when was this?
I was 27, 28. We did it right here at Rock and Joe, the coffee shop.
Okay.
And I it was packed. You couldn't move in there because people wanted to see it was a circus, right? People wanted to see, could I sing or not? And I never sold as many tickets for the fundraiser as I did that time. Because it was the first one. Looking back, it was fine. I had some good moments, but I forgot the words of one song, Taylor Swift song, which is the first song. And then...
So what do you do? What do you do in a scenario like that?
Well, so then another song, one of me or both of us, me and guitarist, we just went to the wrong key for the hook of a Nick Jonas song. So I just stopped. I said, all right, we'll start again. And I was quite proud of myself for just being like, no, fuck it. We'll start again. It's okay. But later in the show, I did a couple songs and you could hear a pin drop in there. Everyone was so quiet listening. So I made up for it at the end, but yeah, what a terrible way to come back. Mess up the lyrics completely. You just keep going.
Do you just pretend you know them?
Yeah, like, but I have training from musical theater that people don't know. There was one time I was doing a song. I think my parents were at this performance. I completely forgot the words. I just mumbled a bunch of words while I was singing. And then I said at the end, oh, do you notice I screwed up? And they're like, no. And no one else noticed. So you just keep going. Or you just own it and say, right, let's start that again. That was terrible.
I mean, it's brutal that you can, do that in front of people and then just like come back.
Yeah, but you don't want to stand there and cry or get all upset and angry. It's just like, all right.
But that's a real skill like that.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I've never taken myself too seriously.
99% of people would be too scared to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk you run. When you're performing, you're going to screw up.
Yeah.
It's how you get over it.
Do you have like performance anxiety before you?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, of course. Half the time I'm like, why the hell did I agree to do this? But I haven't performed in a while. At the listening party is going to be the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just going to be me and the piano, which no one's heard that in 15 to 16 years now. Just me and the piano. That's how I started.
Is it hard to sing and play at the same time or no?
No.
Okay.
That's where I came up.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, and I think it's good that you don't have to read notes because one more thing to add to the mix.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's going to be fun. But yeah, that was, and once you've had that worst performance, it's like, what else can go wrong?
Yes.
So actually, you know, we did Rocktoberfest over here, which is quite, you can get like 1,000 or 2 people there, I think. Most of the people weren't paying attention, but you know, I get there, I had a whole set planned out. Some of it was backing track stuff. And I was like, I can't do these songs. Like, the vibe is so wrong for this.
Why? What were they?
It was just like upbeat songs.
This is like
songs.
An outdoor,
yeah.
Just to set the scene. This upbeat is like
song.
An outdoor kind
Timberlake
of festival.
Song. Yeah, it was Justin Timberlake. There was this dubstepy song. I was like, there's no way I can perform these songs. I'm like such a tit up here. So I said to the guitarist, I was like, I'm not doing any of those songs. We're just gonna go up there and freestyle. Remember all the like, I was like, remember we did this song, we used to do this song, we used to do that. All right, actually, that was one of my favorite performances because we crushed it. That was, and it, we was just we hadn't rehearsed nothing.
That's
an, just oh a few gosh. Beers, up you go. Yeah,
some liquid courage.
But a lot of the time that plays into it, the overthinking it, and that's the same with writing, performing, anything you do in life. Don't overthink it. Just let the vibe, the energy take you to where you need to get to.
I was gonna ask if there's anybody notable that you perform with that you remember as being a great experience.
My musical theater crew. We had some real talent there. One guy's still doing it, but like professionally. But we had a good group of like, I think it was like 6 to 8 of us. That was like the way we all harmonized. We were all just in the same. It got to a point where we didn't even need to tell each other which harmonies to go to. It's just, we just knew that, all right, I'm going to go here, you're going to go there. If I go here, he's going to go there. That was the best. I mean, I've worked with some incredible singers as a producer and a writer, but...
Who have you worked with as a producer and a writer?
I'm not going to drop any big names, but...
Do you have any, like, fun stories without dropping a name?
Not really. I wouldn't say fun because it's... I mean, I'll tell you off air, and you probably know some of the people I've worked with, but I don't like dropping names too much, but there's been some very, very big international superstars. But it's not, there's no fun because it's work.
Right.
I mean, it's fun while you're doing it. Yeah. But I will tell you, we'll tell this story because it's very typical of the music business. There was, a guy A&R on a project. I'm friends with him, so I'm not even going to give a clue as to who he is. He was A&R on the project.
What does that mean?
He was the guy selecting the songs, managing.
Okay.
The artist and repertoire, like basically shaping the sound of the album.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the second single for again international superstar for her album, and it's like, you know, some of these sounds I don't like. Can you just take them out? They're a bit too futuristic. It's dubstep. I still had an ear to what was going on in England and Europe. And I heard that popping over there, and I was like, "You sure? Because this again, it's gonna get big. It's gonna come over here."
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, "Take him out." 6 months go by. I think he texts me or email me. Say, "Hey, I've been thinking we should probably put some dubstep in that one song." We just opened a project, unmuted all the sounds we muted, sent it back, and he's like, "Oh, this is great, perfect." But that's what the music industry is about. A lot of the time, the creativity is stunted by people overthinking and sticking to what they know. There's no, you know, something you learn as a songwriter and a producer is to never write what's hot now, because by the time your shit comes out, it's old.
That's interesting.
So you have to just write what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And think about the biggest artists that have longevity, the Ed Sheerans, the Adeles,
Taylor Swift.
Usher, Taylor Swift. They don't really do what's hot.
That's right.
They just do them.
Yep.
And you always know as soon as they come on. So I love John Bellion's, one of my favorite writers, producers, artists. There was a Justin Bieber song he did. And I'd heard the song a few times, and then I heard one chord in it. And I was like, God damn, John Bellion did that song. I Googled it, and sure enough, he did it. So it's just, they have their own style. And that's what I try to do with my writing, is just, doesn't matter the genre, you know, there's just I just stick to me.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, but yeah, I don't want to sit here and name drop. I like name dropping if I'm impressing someone, but if I'm on a date. But yeah, I don't want to sit here.
Put it on your Tinder profile.
Yeah. Yeah, which I don't have, by the way. Don't go looking. And if you see me on there, it's not me.
Blow up
his
Tinder.
This album is my Tinder profile.
Well, keeping all that in mind, I think we're going to wrap it up. But I do want to ask how, sort of as my last question, mm-hmm. I want to ask how your style has evolved from... those early days when you were, you know, trying to create your own music to now, this most recent album.
I've managed to conquer that voice in my head of the Sting. And I think I said this on one of our podcasts years ago, but I saw an interview with Sting and he said, you know, writers have this, they have the creator on one shoulder and they have the critic on the other shoulder. And too many times the critic's voice overpowers the creator. I've managed to shut the critic's voice up. again, I'm quite lucky because I don't write anything down. It's all in my head.
Also,
it goes from my head, my mouth, to the recording. So I don't really have the chance now. I mean, I've always written like that, but I'm just a lot less critical of myself. And I just, if that's a song, if it's not good enough, then all right, we'll move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's the biggest thing, just learning to shut that voice up.
Learning to love yourself.
Yeah.
Be at peace.
Well, it's true. Yeah. Talking of peace, I don't know if you noticed, did you notice how long the song is? This was completely unintentional.
No.
3:33. 333.
I just saw the, I swear to God, I just saw 333 in my head. I am not kidding you. But I didn't say it because I was like, why am I thinking 333?
I bounced the song down, listened to it, and I was like, oh my God, it's 333. How funny is that?
Wow.
Completely unintentional.
We should look up what those numbers mean.
Well, so, angels and growth.
333?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very fitting.
And I feel like I just had a psychic moment. Well, I must have seen that it was when I was listening to it. I must have seen that and it came back. But all right. Well, anything else you want to mention as we wrap this up?
No, I'm just really looking forward to everybody hearing it. And again, it's me putting myself out there as an artist. I will be promoting it next year. I'm kind of exhausted from it all. It's a lot of time and a lot of mental, I have to be switched on a lot in my spare time to get this done. But it's also, like I said, my calling card, and it's me putting on notice. I mean, there was a time where me and Picasso, we could get meetings with all the top executives in the music business here in UK, any record label. When we want to meet, we go in. Looking back, I wish the music was as good as it is now, because it probably wasn't quite good enough then.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody leaves their positions and, everything cycles through. So this is like it's not just me putting out music, Palo's doing a little music project. This is my calling card, like I said, and it's me putting everybody on notice that this is the quality you're going to get from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and behind me, I have a ton of incredible artists, incredible writers that I will be pushing out to and helping them through my connections, succeed by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like me 3.0 in music.
I love it. So what's next?
I want to start writing again for other people and then just keep writing, put another project out.
Great.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
The more the better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh yeah, thanks guys for listening. The album drops December 3rd on a Saturday, because it's my birthday that day. So I do have a request. Even if you don't listen to the whole album, listen to Peace and just send it to someone you think needs it. That's my one request. Listen to that song and then send it to someone you think needs it. That's how we're going to heal the world. One song at a time. Yeah. All right, toodles.
Peace.
Whoa.